Will you join me in prayer? God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for this season, for the opportunity of this good news to fill us, to bless us, and to remind us of all of the ways in which you journey with us. Bless us, O God, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, have you got your list? Have you got the list from everybody who writes lists for you? Now, have you figured out, do you have like your strategy, and on these days you're going to shop, and on these days you're going to wrap, or are you just going to pay somebody to wrap, and you got all that worked out? All the parties that you're going to go to, all the cancellations you have to make now that you realize you really need to be here at 7 o'clock December 15th. I mean, there's a lot of stress in this season, right? Christmas. Advent. Some of us came from that Protestant inn that doesn't even know about Advent. But you know about the process. For those of you who come from a higher church tradition, a liturgical church tradition, Advent comes before the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. It is that which is to come. It gives us the opportunity to mark our calendars, to recognize that this is a process of waiting, anticipation, preparation, excitement. How many of you live in a place of fantasy around Christmas? We're just going to keep it there, around Christmas. Some of us fantasize the traditions of our childhood and try to recreate them. Some of us fantasize what it would be like to create new traditions and rituals. I think fantasy has a connection to hope, has a connection to imagination, because you know, if our imagination is limited, our hope is limited. Hello? How many of you used to run wild with what was possible, say when you were 5? Maybe 7. And then as you reached that age of reason, the world around you began to extinguish imagination, right? And yet, this holy season is all about imagination. Where would we be in this season without imagining hope for the world? How many of you felt a twinge of hope this week when you bought that lottery ticket? I'm sorry I had to go there, right? I mean, we heard the statistics. 1 in 780 million could win it, and guess what? We convinced ourselves we could be that one. Believe me, I hoped it for you too. Because had you won, you would have bought me dinner so we could have that critical conversation. I might even get a little dogmatic about how important it is to tithe 10%. However, I might be really happy with 0.001%. I mean, didn't we not imagine what we could buy? I imagined what you could buy for Jesus. I mean, Imagine the ministry we could do if we only had. Actually, imagining what we could do is a great place to start. Can I get a witness? Because we can actually do a lot without the lottery. That's not to say that if you win, we couldn't do more. Hope. Hope loomed large in Elizabeth for her whole married life until she reached that age where hope was hopeless. Elizabeth longed to have a child. Zechariah longed for his offspring to be born. And Elizabeth was barren. I thought about this week from the standpoint of Elizabeth stopped hoping at some point because it was no longer possible. How quickly we give up hope when it seems impossible. An impossible story was realized this week in the West Point Chapel. Penelope Nesson and Brenda Sue Fulton, a West Point graduate, exchanged vows in the Regal Church in a ceremony attended by 250 guests conducted by a senior Army chaplain. Had we given up hope when it seemed hopeless, we would not be celebrating this historic event. How quickly do we give up hope when it seems impossible, when our imagination is limited by what is probable? Any statistics majors in the room? Well, actually, you don't have to be a statistics major to know what's probable. For Elizabeth, having a child in her 60s or 70s, birthing this new possibility became impossible, so she let it go. What would happen if we let go of the possibility that AIDS could be annihilated? Would it be? We have to hold on to what is possible and imagine the impossible or borrow someone else's willingness to imagine it for us. Both marriage equality and HIV/AIDS have something in common. We have, to a large extent, become apathetic by the fight. You know, after a while, it gets weary. Watching our loved ones die from a disease that was mysterious, and now we can take some pills and it feels like it's all better. Guess what? It's not cured. Our work is not done. The World AIDS Day Memorial needs us to still imagine what is possible and not grow weary by apathy. Same-gender-loving covenants need us to continue imagining what is possible. Hello? Hello? We must not grow weary from our fight. Elizabeth and Zechariah were offered the opportunity, a visit by the angel, who said to her, "Elizabeth, be at peace, for the prayer of your heart has been heard." Are we so far away from the prayer of our heart we don't even know what it is? What is the prayer of your heart? Not of your want. We can want till the day is long and never be satisfied. What is the prayer of your heart? Can you touch it? Can you name it? Can you say it out loud? Okay, go ahead. Tyler, Richard, marriage, children, happiness. Somebody back here. Peace. What is the prayer of your heart? Help. Here's what the good news is around this. How many of you are still breathing? That's some good news right now, right? So if there's still a breath in you and you can name the prayer of your heart, your work sits right in front of you. You do not have to grow weary. But what does Zechariah do? Zechariah says, "What foolishness is this?" Hello. This is not about Zechariah. This is about all the voices in your head, about all the people who are going to critique the prayer in your heart. Should I risk defilement on the eve of my priestly duties? Oh, what does that really mean? Should I risk giving them something to talk about? Should I risk what the neighbors will say? Because you know they will talk. Should I risk not living into the letter of the law to extinguish the spirit of what is possible? Zechariah, given up the opportunity to create his offspring. Just that could cause you pause to wonder. Giving up the, can you go there for a second? I know it's church. Giving up the possibility that this physical expression of love could actually create a generation. We want a cap in a system. Zechariah did not believe her. But in due time, Elizabeth did conceive. And then what did she do? She remained in seclusion. Have you ever kind of got a hold of what was really the gift to the world and then kept it for yourself in seclusion? Elizabeth quietly praising God. Soon, the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and saw that he was terrified. How many of you would be terrified if the angel Gabriel come and stood next to you? Because you know what? Even if the angel Gabriel looked like an angel, and it was an angel, we would be terrified. Show me terror. Take a risk. Show me terror. Right? For 1 second, let's be in drama class. Show me terror. Because Because you know what? If we don't step outside of those places where we fear what other people will think about us, we are owned by that. Zechariah missed out on celebrating this thing he longed for fear of what others might think. Andrew DeVries knows what hope feels like, knows in his body what hope feels like. He was struck by a car several years ago while he was riding his motorcycle. He was taken to a trauma center, at which point they told him he broke his leg. Well, actually, he shattered his leg. And after a number of surgeries, it became apparent that they would probably not be able to keep his leg. He was also a golfer. Any golfers in the room? Imagine for yourself being limited by that joy you have swinging that golf club. He was taken care of by a hospitalist, a doctor who was in the lead of his care. And she came to him and said, "Andy, tell me what is your favorite golf ball?" Now, he thought she was coming to tell him, you know, giving that pep talk, and it's going to be okay, and life will go on without your leg, and he thought that's what she was there for. No, she was interested in his favorite golf ball. Seem a bit absurd? Not the conversation you expect to be having with your doctor? But he said, "I play with the Titleist Pro V1. Does that mean anything to anybody? Sounds like a foreign language to me. He went to surgery the next morning, and he woke up, and there were flowers around his room, and right in the middle of those flowers was a yellow 12-pack of Titleist Pro V1s. The hospitalist said, "She purchased those for me. I purchased those for you to bring you hope. Sometimes having something we can hold on to, we can see, helps us have hope." Just the promise of good news might be enough for us to hold on. He went to surgery and came out of surgery with both his legs. Now, who knows how all that happens and why it happens for some and not others? But she loaned him hope when all seemed hopeless for him. Have you ever been in a place where all seemed hopeless? Have you ever been in a place where if you could just hold on to a glimmer of hope, where you could just grab hold of imagination somehow, some way, offering Zechariah and Elizabeth the opportunity to birth a child seemed all but hopeless, and then when it came to them, they were terrified. Do we really fear what we hope for, and is that what holds us back? Is that what paralyzes us? Is that what silences us? As we step into this holy season, whether you're shopping or cleaning or cooking or preparing or working your little tails off because you're in retail. What do you hope for? This opportunity to carve out time, to sit in stillness, to think about what is possible, is still possible in the birth of this Christ child. Amen? We retell this story over and over and over to remind us that what seems impossible is still possible. What are you limiting? What can help you hold on, reclaim the hope in your heart? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for these stories of hope, for the opportunity to come and just rest a little while, borrow imagination from each other. Help us as we step into this holy season to carry the light of hope with us. Meet us in these places of longing. Meet us in this place. In Christ's name we pray.